Father, we exalt you tonight. We praise you tonight. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your glory in this house. Thank you for your hand upon me to speak. Your hand upon us all to hear. Thank you because your power is present to heal. All the praise and all the glory tonight we give to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to church. Smile, greet somebody. Make them feel good. Church ought to be a nice place to be. With nice people with the love of God. So smile at somebody. Make them feel good and happy. Hallelujah. Praise God, for his mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. You have time tonight? Yes, you are not going anywhere tomorrow. Amen. So you have time tonight. Amen. Are we? We can dig deep. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 15. Lord, I ask that you breathe upon your word tonight. We'll be speaking about what? Do I negate my faith? We want to answer the question, do I negate my faith by taking drugs? Do I negate my faith by taking drugs? And I just start off from Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Or less do I read? Because verse 26 says, and said, so you can immediately, what he said will tell you who said it. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, it says I will put none of the diseases on you. Of course, you know I use the New King James now. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I'm going to try a bit to follow my notes because I think we're dealing with a slightly complex topic that I'm sure many people would like answered. How many people would like us to answer the question? Do I negate my faith by taking drugs? And one of the key elements of what I think we're dealing with when we talk about this is the fact that people are confused about what faith is. Are you still there? We're confused about what faith is. And the Bible says that faith, if you will believe with your heart and you say to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, Mark 11:23, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall say what? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt it. He said he shall have whatsoever he says. Romans chapter 10 talks about the fact that with the heart man believes. Are you with me? It says with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What am I driving at? The fact that faith is of the heart. Can I hear you say faith is of the heart? Say it again. Say faith is of the heart. There are elements in this dimension of faith that allows or that people do not clearly understand and therefore make a shipwreck of their faith. And that's what we're dealing with tonight. Okay, faith is of the heart. Don't forget that Mark 11:23, Romans chapter 10, talks about the fact that with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's faith is a matter of the heart, not really a matter of external factors. Please don't forget what I'm driving at. I know that I'm human, I'm limited by words, but I'm trusting the Holy Ghost tonight. Can I have an amen? To explain and make things clear to us. So faith is of a heart is very, very important for us to understand. James chapter 1 talks about the fact that faith without action is dead. And that word action is corresponding action, or faith without works. If you read the old King James, it talks about faith without works is dead. That word translated works is corresponding action. Okay, meaning that there is an action that expresses your faith, or your faith will inspire certain actions, or your faith indeed should inspire some actions, and if your faith does not inspire the action that is meant to inspire, then that faith is dead. It doesn't bring about any results. Are you with me? Now, it's a combination of some of these things and these scriptures that I've been referring to that brings about the confusion. So people have tried to assess faith by what they can see. Are you with me? Meaning that people look at what they can see in order to tell if you have faith or not. To a certain degree, we might be able to do that. But to a large degree, we cannot do that because faith is what? Of the heart. That is why somebody can stand and tell me that I believe God. If he tells me I believe God, I see nothing in the physical that doesn't believe God, I'm not just going to agree with his faith. Are you still there, anybody? I'm not going to say you didn't believe God. No. Except you are doing something that is completely contrary to faith in God. And that is where many people have situated the need to take drugs or not, for whatever reason. Okay? But don't forget where I'm starting from, which is what faith is of a heart. Let me tell you a story. We'll try to build up and get somewhere. Are you still there? Okay? So this guy is stranded off at sea. The story is told of this person who is stranded at sea in the middle of the ocean. He had a problem. His boat, malfunctioned, and he's in the middle of nowhere on the waters. There are certain things that they have. If you're in trouble, there are things, there's a kind of gun, which is like a lighter. You shoot, it blows up a fire. So any ship or boat that is far off will see it. And when they see it, they know that there's a boat somewhere that is in distress. And so while this guy was floating and managing to stay afloat on the ocean, somebody saw that he was in distress. He prayed, he cried out to God to save him. And then a boat came about. And they said, oh, let's take you away. And the man says, no, I'm trusting God. Some fishermen came about and they said, we've come to get you. The man said, no, I'm trusting God. Another ship came about, tried to get him out of the waters, and he said, no, I'm trusting God. Eventually, his little boat or whatever capsized, and he drowned. Got to heaven, was upset, and he asked God, God, I was trusting you, and you did nothing. God said, I did something. He said, really? God said, yes, I sent 3 different types of boats to get you, but you didn't take them. Are you still there? I said, are you there? We're going to get on many scriptures. Don't worry. We're getting somewhere. Are you with me? Okay. So when we then look at our text tonight, so what I'm saying that to test out is something similar in Acts chapter 12. Because the question is, what is the answer to my prayer? Okay. What is the answer to my prayer? Whenever I pray to God and I'm asking God to save me, I'm asking God to heal me. Now, this is not the kind of message that you listen and you take a sound bite. Are you with me? A sound bite. You remember what a sound bite is? A sound bite is when you take just one statement and you run with it. Or you take one section of what I'm saying and you run with it. And you don't take everything that I said together. It's when you take it together, you will understand what I'm saying to you tonight. So I'm only just beginning. Are you there? So I'm trying to tell you that the realm of prayers and answers to prayers are the realms of God. Okay? And many times we try to play God as well as playing our own part. We pray to God, but we try to tell God how God should operate and how God should answer our prayers. Are you still there, anybody? So, for instance, in Acts chapter 12, the story is told James was taken by Herod and was killed. Herod saw that he pleased the people, he took Peter and put Peter in prison. One of the things that I like for the intercessory group, one of the things I like, the Bible says what? It said, but prayer was made constantly by the church to God. So it tells me something that apparently when Herod took James, the church wasn't praying. Are you there? But when Herod took Peter, the church said, this thing is becoming serious. So. It's coming closer. It might be me next, or it might be you next. So the prayer was fervent. Fervent means heartfelt. They say, pray! Everybody say, shaka! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Because they're afraid that it might be me next. Are you there? Okay? So they began to pray. And then an angel went, released Peter, to cut a long story short. An angel took Peter out of the jail, and Peter came to one of the prayer houses where they were and they were praying. And when he knocked the door, a girl came there, looked in the keyhole, saw Peter, went back to tell the people praying and saying, Peter is at the door. Peter is at the door. And guess what? They said, it's impossible. It's impossible. Maybe it's his angel, not him. The big question is, what were they praying? Are you still with me? What were they praying if they could not believe that Peter could be at the door? If they had been praying for Peter to be released and somebody comes and says, Peter is at the door, why are you in doubt that Peter could be at the door? Because somehow they were praying, they had a sense of faith in the fact that God hears prayers, but somehow it was too dramatic for them that they felt it was not possible. So they had God boxed. Are you with me? So very often, you know, again, a story is told about a church and a beer parlor. So a beer parlor opened beside a church, you know, had very popular, became very popular, attracting a lot of crowds. And the church began to pray and pray against the beer parlor. And the beer parlor one day caught fire and burnt to the ground, burnt to ashes. And the owner of the beer parlor was very angry against the church. He said he sure is the church's prayers. So he sued the church and took them to court. And when he got to court, they asked the church leadership and members, how do you plead? And they said, not guilty, my lord. So, and the beer parlor man said, now lie. They are the ones behind the burning of that place is their prayer. And the people said, not guilty, my lord. So the judge said, I am confused. He said, because I have a bunch of beer drinking people who believe in the efficacy of prayer, and I have a church who does not believe. He said, so now I'm confused about how to judge this matter. Are you still there? We're building somewhere. Are you with me, anybody? For the purpose of our discussion tonight, a drug is defined as anything that you give, substance that you give to people, very simply, that is used to treat or prevent sickness. Interestingly, that includes toothpaste. Are you still there, anybody? That includes what? Toothpaste. Why do you use toothpaste? We're going to get into quite some scriptures soon. Why do we use toothpaste? To prevent what? Caries. You ever heard about caries? That's hole in the tooth. That's what they call caries. So why? Inside that toothpaste, they put certain things that are supposed to strengthen your teeth, help you to clean off dirt more easily, right? So actually, if it's not an April Fool's joke that if I use any drug, it negates my faith, I might also not use any soap to bath, I might not use any toothpaste to brush my teeth, and believe God to keep my teeth. Can I have an amen? Are you with me? How many people will join me now? That we're going to believe God. From today, we're not brushing our teeth again. Are you there? So in the main text, actually, in the main text that I read, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, God tells them, okay, if you obey me, diligently, you must take note of every word there. If you obey me diligently to do what I tell you to do, he said, I will not put any of the diseases I put on the Egyptians upon you. Actually, the word upon or put upon is actually allow. Okay, what the theologians have taught us is that in the Hebrew language, there's a permissive sense or permissive tense of words where it says, I will not allow to come upon you the diseases I allow to come upon the Egyptian. So God was saying, I'm the God who was preventing you from getting sick. Okay? And if you would be diligent in obeying me, I'll prevent you from getting sick. Why? He said, because ordinarily I am the God who heals you. Now, the real question there is that he is the God who prevented them getting sick. We know from Psalm, is it Psalm 105? Now that he talks about the fact that he came out, there was none feeble among them. Okay, so he prevents you from getting sick. He says, but I am the Lord who heals you. The question is, he did not tell us how. Are you there? And what I'm trying to do tonight is to get you to see that God's methodologies vary. Are you there? We build and see that God's methods vary, and then we'll get to the ultimate, which is the fact that God can and will keep us even without drugs. It's a possibility. Are you hear what I'm saying? So I'm summarizing for you before we dive into it further so that you don't get confused. Are you with me? That to start with, God's methodologies vary. God can use several different methods in order to get you your healing. But I'm saying to you that God's best, it does not stop God from functioning without the aid of anything. Are you still there? Okay, so that's the summary of what I'm saying. So we're going to start off now looking further into a few scriptures. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Just a few, I'm still laying a foundation. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, the first chapter. And I'm also, doing this because a number of believers have run into a lot of trouble. Okay, because they felt that the moment they take a drug or the other, they have, you know, they are walking in doubt. In fact, some will take it a step further and take it that they are in sin. And because of that, at the moments that they could have and perhaps should have, I'm choosing my words carefully, okay? Perhaps should have also taken or sought medical help, they felt that it would be a great sin and they did not. And sometimes they were morbidly handicapped, terribly handicapped eventually, or they even died when they should not have died. Are you still there? Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every what? Herb. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Now, I'm going to make us go through a number of scriptures, okay? There's something I'm trying to do. We're going to go through a number of scriptures, and I'll tell you a number of stories. All right? So you put them all together, and it will become whole. Okay? I've tried here to look for everything possible. You know, Hebrew, whatever, to find. What is herb? And it's still herb that I ended up with. I've not found it to be any different in all the study I've done. I've tried to find out, is the herb here different from herb as we know herbs to be? And I've not found it to be any different. If you study, you find it, let me know. Are you there? God says, I've given you the herbs. So one is to say, or to point out to us here, that God made the herbs available himself. If you check in a dictionary, a herb is anything, any plant, that is normally used for, they say, for savory reasons, aromatic reasons, or medicinal reasons. Savory means it's spices that you put in food for taste. It is things that you use and you can do whatever you do with in order to get good smell. So out of it, you get your perfumes. Okay? Or you can even use it just so that food can smell in a particular way, in a nice, enticing way. Are you following what I'm saying? Or herbs are plants that are also used for what? Medicinal purposes. God said, I gave them to you. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Are you still getting anything this morning? Or this evening, rather? Are you getting anything this evening? Okay. I spent much of last week, and this is a scripture I picked up from fellowshipping. I spent much of last weekend in Akure ministering, and it was lovely. I spent the 4 days actually ministering with Brother Tokes. So we had also time to fellowship. with each other and with our host, Dr. Oji. So we had time. And we shared many things. You know, we shared many things. I didn't know what I was going to teach on today until this morning. That's the honest truth. I kept praying and thinking about it. I didn't know what I was going to teach on. But I felt strongly that I should go in this direction tonight. But one of the things we did talk along these lines, and this is one scripture in particular that brought up. You know, so this is Brother Tok's scripture, which I have now stolen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, it says, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Is that what your Bible says? Is that what your Bible says? Hey, are you awake or asleep? Is that what your Bible says? Okay, great. Now, the Amplified Classic Edition, I'm going to read it to you. It says, "He who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer, and he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide." And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself, endeavors, his efforts to heal himself, is what? Brother to him who commits suicide. Did you get that? Okay, so we're building up, like I said, we're building up on a number of scriptures. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 5. So this also, I'm reading to us because it shows us that in order, remember where we started from in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, where God says that I will ensure that I will not allow the diseases that I allow to come upon the Egyptians to come upon you. So I said God prevents us or keeps us healthy, right? And then two, he says, "For I am the Lord that heals you." So two things: God keeps me healthy, God heals me when I'm sick or if I'm sick. Are you there? But how does he do it? That basically is the question we're answering. How does he do it? In Psalm 103 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Who satisfies what? Your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." If my youth is renewed like the eagles, what's that implying? I'm in good health. Are you there? It's implicit in that verse that I'm in good health. And God says, by what I allow to get in your mouth, I'm going to keep you in good health. Are you still with me? I'm getting you somewhere. Because we have also always taught that if God keeps me, it's just always about the fact that there is a power of God that just comes on me. Do you understand that? We have always taught that if God is going to keep me, it means that there is a power of God upon me. That's all, full stop. But God is saying, I use what gets in your mouth to keep you healthy and renew your youth. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're building up on a number of scriptures. If you are with me, shout amen. Number of scriptures. So we're going to look in many scriptures. Amen. It's a teaching service. But I want you to get it and get it once and for all. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Are you there? I've spoken about this actually a while back. 1 Timothy chapter 5, speaking about alcohol and the use of alcohol in Bible times. If you remember that, we've spoken about that. So when people start quoting this verse, I laugh, okay, for the use of what? Alcohol. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, what did he say? Paul was writing to Timothy, a younger pastor, and he said, "No longer drink only water, but use what? A little wine for your stomach's sake and your what? Frequent infirmities." What is that? That's a drug. Are you with me? Yeah, so he wasn't telling Timothy, he was telling him that this is the drug I know. How many people are getting what I'm saying? He was telling Timothy, this is the drug that I know is effective for your frequent infirmities and your stomach condition. You drink only water, but I suggest you take a little wine. So when people say, hooray, glory to God, we can drink wine. The Bible says we should drink a little wine. I say, and by the grace of God, may he grant you some stomach infirmities. Abby? Can we have an amen there? Eh? So for those who want it as an excuse to drink wine, may the Lord grant them infirmity as well. Then it will be very perfectly legal for them to stand on this scripture. Abby? But like I pointed out, it is clearly just a drug that Paul was recommending to Pastor Timothy. Can I have an amen? Now let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And at this point, or at this junction, so I've given you a few scriptures, a number of scriptures. Don't worry, I understand how, and if you want to know, I'm very analytic. So I understand how people might start analyzing the things we're saying. And it's okay. Okay, so just follow. Look at your neighbor, say, just follow. I'm very analytic myself, okay? So I'm building up something. I've given you a number of scriptures, and I know that some of those scriptures will make you do like this. And that's okay. Amen. You know, you're still like, I'm not sure yet. What is he saying? I'm not convinced yet. I'm not very clear yet. We are getting somewhere. Hallelujah. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I want to talk about the story of a king by the name of Asa or Asha or Asha. Are you there? 2 Chronicles what? Chapter 14. Now King Asa came in and as the king of Judah, and I can't read everything that's in there, but in chapter 14, this is the beginning of the introduction of Asa's reign as a king in Judah. Okay? And the Bible painted a picture for us. And the point in this section, now that I'm speaking on, I've reached section 2 of my teaching. And in this section, what I'm trying to establish for you is that faith in God is faith in God, period. Are you there? Faith in God is faith in God, period. Is faith in God irrespective of whether I am strong or I am weak. It's faith in God whether I am rich or I am poor. It's faith in God whether I know who can help me or I absolutely know nobody under the sun who can help me. I don't know if I'm communicating yet. The first thing is, do you believe God? Okay? And that's the point that Asa made. That's the introduction to King Asa. Now, in this place, that we had an army. The Ethiopian army came against Judah, the Bible says, okay? Giving you a background. The Ethiopian army came against Judah. And the Ethiopian army was over 1 million people, about 1,300,000 people. And King Asa had an army that was way less than that. And I mean, the Bible says, Asa had, in verse 8, okay, are you following me? 2 Chronicles chapter 14, Asa had an army of what? 300,000 from Judah who carried shield and spear, and 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. So all that Asa had were what? 580,000 soldiers. But Zerah the Ethiopian came out with 1 million men and 300 chariots. So more or less double. Double the number of people. I think Pastor Enwe was telling us about the Iraqi war the other day. You know, the Iraqi war was the war where Saddam Hussein invaded, Iraq invaded Kuwait. Okay? And one of the things that happened is that Iraq is a big country. I'm just giving you so that you can transpose this thing into real life situations. Are you with me? And the glory of God is strong in this place. I don't know if you know it. You know, When Iraq went into Kuwait, if I remember correctly, they said it was like 10 to 1. That is, one Kuwaiti soldier to 10 Iraqi soldiers, the number of soldiers that came at them. So they overran the place with ease, just out of numbers. So this is the kind of thing we're seeing here. This guy was facing double the size of his army. So when they said, and then when they warned Saddam Hussein, and they said, get out of Kuwait or we'll come and deal with you, US is coming for you, that's when Saddam Hussein said they should come. He said, they will see the mother of all wars. That war was over in about 10 days. All his soldiers surrendered when they saw the kind of thing that came at them. Now, it's also similar to what happened here, okay? So you can see what I'm saying. Double, 1 million came against 580,000 people. And then what happened? So Asa cried out. Now look at verse 11. This is important. Verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, what he said is great revelation. Asa said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. Nothing for you to help. That is the key thing. Lord, it is nothing for you to help. Then he adds on, he says what? Whether with many or with those who have no power, help us, O Lord our God, for what? For we rest on you. Are you following what I'm saying? The guy said, it makes no difference. Even if I was 1,500,000 people, even if my soldiers were 2 million people, he said, God, it is nothing for you to help. He said, help! Because we rest on you. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm not looking at what I have or don't have. All of my faith is in you. Are you there? I said, are you there? It means that first we put aside everything in the physical when you are talking about faith, and we ask the question, are you resting on God? Another translation says, for we rely on you. What the Bible teaches is your reliance on God. What we have said is that reliance on God therefore means that I will not use anything at all in the physical. That's not what the Bible teaches. Are you still with me? The question to ask yourself at any point in time is what? Do you rely on God? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord what? With all your heart. And do what? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct your path. So what I'm driving at is this. You see, people have taught that because I trust God to supply my needs, I will just stay home and pray in tongues. Amen? The bigger the tongues, the more the money. Then what happens? The Bible says what? A little folding of the arms to sleep. Eh? It says, so shall your wants come like an armed robber. Eh? The poverty, the needs will come like armed robber. You will have no defense against it when it hits you and it hits you hard. So you can't sit back and say, I do nothing. Why? Because the Bible has said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. You do something. And you trust God to do what? Walk through the things you have done and the ones you have not done. Are you following what I'm saying? And supply all of your needs. Are you with me? I said, are you there? So Asa declared that and made it clear, okay? But this is how I stand. Psalm 121 tells us what? It says, I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from where? Comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Open Psalm 127, and then we'll come back again to Asa's story. Psalm 127. But we're establishing something. Are you beginning to get something now? Is it becoming clearer, anybody? Psalm 127. Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they sleep in vain who build it. Right? Unless the Lord guards the city, the people can sleep all they want. Huh? What does your Bible say? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, the question is this. The Lord is building the city, but do they labor or not? Huh? They labor. The Lord is guarding the city, but is there a watchman or not? Are you there? So, the fact that there's a watchman, does that mean they don't trust God? Huh? Isn't that the psalmist that said to me that I will look to the hills from whence comes my help, just a few chapters ahead? Before this one, Psalm 121. Is that not the same psalmist that said that? That is now saying what? So what is he saying? He's saying, I labor, or they labor. However, they trust God. That is why their labor is not in vain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They watch the city. They guard the city. But because the Lord is guarding it with them or guarding it for them, that's why their own guarding it is not in vain. Can I have an amen? Now go back to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, now chapter 16. So we have seen Asa before. We've seen Asa be introduced, and Asa told us something very profound. Asa said, God will rely on you. It doesn't matter whether we are powerful. It doesn't matter whether we are powerless. We rely on you. And you are able to save us simply because we are depending on you. That is the key thing. Are you still there? You know, so for instance, do you stop trusting God for your needs simply because your salary has tripled? Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you stop believing God? Do you not trust God to supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? The scripture says, give us this day our daily bread. Do you stop praying, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, supply my needs today? Do you stop praying? Do you stop trusting God for any of that simply because you have a good fat bank account? Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm driving at? Now, 2 Chronicles 16, and people have misunderstood. So we saw Asa at the beginning of his life. We saw the philosophy of Asa, which is, I rely on God, whether there's strength or whether we are powerless, it doesn't matter, we rely on God. Now we see at the end of Asa's life in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, that's what we're seeing here. Another king, the king of Israel, came against Judah. So some years have passed. And this time around, Asa does not pray like we saw in chapter 14. Asa takes some money and some goodies, and he goes to meet the king of Syria and says, come and help me. Come and help me. These guys want to fight war with me. Please come and support me. And then God gets upset with Asa. And God tells him something. God says, the Ethiopian army that came, were they not greater than this Israeli army? And yet at that time, I saved you. Are you with me? And that's where scripture like verse 9, I know you know verse 9. I'll read you verse 9. That's where that scripture came from. It says what? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose what? Heart is loyal to him. Can I hear you say heart? Whose heart is what? Loyal. Remember where we started from. Faith is of the heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro to act on behalf of those whose heart is loyal towards him. One of the reasons why, like I said, we'll have problems judging some of these things sometimes is because faith is what? Of the heart and not of the head, or based on just things in the physical. Asa was very angry with the prophet that told him that. But moving down, okay, verse 10, the Bible says, then Asa was angry with the seer, the man who just told it that look, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro, blah, blah, blah. He said, then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. The Bible says in verse 12, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased. So he had an affliction in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Now, that's what also people misinterpret. They said he had a disease in his feet. He did not seek the Lord. He sought the physicians. If you read other translations, it says what? He did not rely on God. Can I hear you say rely? He did not rely on God, but he relied on the physicians. So the problem was not the physicians or getting physician help. The problem was what? Where was he really looking at? I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. Where was his reliance? Where was his heart? His heart was on the physicians being able to help him. Can I have an amen? And as long as his heart was that way, God was upset with Asa. And that's why Asa died and did not get healed. Not because he sought the physicians, but because he relied on the physicians. There's a big difference between the two. Can I have an amen? Are you following me? So when we're trusting God for a child, you know, 1 year, 2 years, my wife got upset. Ah, let's go to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no. So she got upset and said, ah, you're a doctor, I'm a doctor. Why would we not go to the hospital? So I said, no, I'm not against the hospital. I trust God, but I'm not against the hospital. I said, the reason why I'm not eager to go to the hospital yet is because I want to get to the place where I'm sure that both of us are relying on God and not the hospital. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if we go to the hospital and in the hospital and you are not relying on God and in the hospital they told you, oh, we have seen what is wrong with you. It is impossible for you to have children. That's the end. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will completely give up. Or they tell you something that is very difficult. They say, well, we can see what it is, but chances are less than 10%. Anybody with these kind of conditions, you know, male or female, less than 10%. Then your faith goes, shh. You understand what I'm talking about, anybody? But when your reliance is on God, it makes no difference what they say there. In fact, the only thing that the diagnosis will do for you is that it gives you a target for your faith. Then you know what to start saying. Lord, I command whatever condition, name they give to it, I command it to go. I command it to change. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And every name has to be subject to this name. Because you now have a target for your faith. And you were not relying on the physicians. Are you still there, anybody? Are you following me? You know, I also told you the story, you know, years ago. I was diagnosed with TB, tuberculosis, in the Bible. When you read the Bible, they will call it what? How many people know? You know TB is in the Bible? Ah, Bible quiz. It's in the Bible. You know what they call it? Consumption. Have you ever seen consumption before? Maybe you are reading the two new kind of translations. But when you see consumption, I think you will even find it in Deuteronomy 28. When you see consumption, that's tuberculosis. Or when you read old books and they tell you about consumption, they say somebody had consumption, that's what it is. Okay, that's what they call that. Incurable, back in the days, of course, now curable. But the first time anybody ever told me, I said, hey, we saw your x-ray looks bad, you have TB. And I told my boss, I said, well, this is what they said. My boss said, no, you look perfectly okay to me. You work with me every day. I don't see anything wrong. Do you have any symptoms? No, I don't have any. But the moment I got that report, I had a target for my faith. So I started confessing God's word. And of course, as I believe God for health in general, I also spoke specifically about that condition. And then about a year later, I was in the UK, landed at the airport. They did an x-ray and they found, again, it looked very bad. And they sent me to a hospital to see a specialist. I saw a specialist. Well, I saw somebody first at the hospital. She checked, did everything. She wasn't sure. I said, I'll send you to a specialist. So she sent me to a specialist. I saw the specialist. He examined me, looked at the x-ray, looked at everything. And the guy sat me down and said, I'm confused. He said, because if somebody had told me this, and it's not me examining you, he said, I would not believe what they say. He said, but I've just finished examining you and I'm looking at your x-ray. He said, that x-ray does not look anything like you that I'm seeing here. I've listened to your chest. It doesn't fit what I see there at all. Then he asked me, are you coughing? No. Are you sweating at night? No. Are you losing weight? No, I'm gaining weight. And the guy thought, and of course they got to prove that, because I needed to go back every week, you know, until they concluded on what they wanted to do. And each week my weight was higher. So they could verify even that one that I told to them. I said, no, I'm actually gaining weight. So the guy said, and then sent me to, he said, we need to get sputum, you know, that which you cough off. I said, I'm coughing up nothing. So I can't give you anything to test. So he had to send me again to another hospital so that they could pass a scope down my throat, and they could take something so they could go test it. Yes, it's terrible. I can see where you're looking, it's terrible. And they got that and they went to test and it came back negative. So the guy sat down again and looked at me. He said, okay, you're a doctor. I said, yes. He said, if I was in your shoes, I would take the drugs. Yeah. But what's the problem? The drugs had side effects, terrible side effects. So he said, but if I was in your shoes, because if TB can have terrible complications too. So the guy said, look, you're a doctor, you know what I'm talking about. I said, yes. He said, so if I was in your shoes, this is a very confusing case for me, very confusing situation. He said, but if I was in your shoes, I'll take these drugs. And you have to take the drugs for 6 months, every day for 6 months. So he said, so what are you going to do? I'd made up my mind long ago, if I have to go to the hospital, I'll cooperate and trust God to walk through the systems. Are you there? So the guy said, what are you going to do? I said, I'll take the drugs. He said, are you sure? I said, I'm going to take it. I've given you my word. Somebody said, what about side effects? Mark 16 says, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they gave me the drugs. I used the drugs truly, truly. You know, they're not even here. They can't catch me. This was 2005. They can't catch me again, Abby. This is how many years later. So there's no point telling you lies now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I took the drugs religiously every day for 6 months without side effects for 1 day. Are you still with me? God did what God would do. Can I have an amen? I'll tell you one more story. So, and then we'll go to another scripture. Are you getting anything tonight? Our stories. The Egan stories are stories Brad Tokes told me. And there was one time that, you know, Pastor Egan now, who is Brother Kenneth E. Egan's son, Pastor Egan is in his 80s now, if I'm right. So Brother Egan has died long ago. Brother Egan is who many people have heard of and have read his books. But Pastor Egan is the son who heads the ministry now. And many years ago, when Brother Egan was still alive, Pastor Egan's son had a brain tumor. Terrible brain tumor, which was, for those who might know, around the brain stem. The brain stem is where you control breathing and all of those things. Very delicate area. And just discovered he had a headache, blah, blah, blah. And they took him to the hospital and they checked and they said, this is a very, very dangerous brain tumor that we have here. That is as dangerous as if this guy just jumps on the bed. You know the way some of you jump on the bed sometimes? Yay, guaga! He said, if he jumps on the bed and hits his head, he can die. On the pillow, not on the wall. If he just does on the bed carelessly and hits his head, he can even die, just like that. As a boy, 12-year-old boy, I think he was. So, as Egan called Brother Egan, you know, and told him, this is what we just found out. And Brother Egan told him, he said, pray for him. Lay hands on him, pray for him. He said, you might get an instantaneous healing. He said, but if you don't, take him to the hospital and let them do the surgery. So, prayed for him. He wasn't healed instantly. They took him to the hospital, scheduled him for surgery. They went into the surgery room. I think they said that lasted 14 hours. And as they did, is it 14 or 8? 8 hours. I think 14, I'm not sure, but whatever, long. Anyway. So, did the surgery, and the surgeon said, this was just perfect. It's just perfect. It's like you read in the books. The surgery was perfect textbook surgery. Okay? He said, but we couldn't get everything out because if we went too close, we might take out some brain tissue as well. So we've done the best we can, but it went quite well. The nurse who was assisting in the theater said the presence of God in that theater was so strong that she got healed of a back condition she had for a long time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Brought somebody for surgery. The nurse there says, I got healed, supernaturally assisting in the theater. That the surgeon says, it was textbook surgery, even though we left a little bit because we couldn't go too close to the brain stem so that we don't cut some of the brain tissue itself, and closed up. And they said, the bone will never heal up again because it was already 12. That place will never cover completely again. And they hope that that little bit they left doesn't grow again. And that was the end of the matter. Years later, he was in college, university. Like in high school, senior high school. And he wanted to play American soccer, which is very rough. If you've ever watched those things, And so they had to do physicals. They had to do x-ray, everything, and check you head to toe and be sure that you're okay first. Otherwise, when those boys hit you, you are gone. So when they checked him, they discovered that bone had healed up completely. They discovered that tumor, that little bit that they said they couldn't get out, was not there. It was gone. Are you there with me? Okay, so we've answered one question, if you hear me right. I made one point, which is what? God is able to help, whether with many or with few, whether with those who have strength or those who have no strength. So the key thing is what? God, we rely on you. Are you there? God, we do what? Rely on you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Good. Now let me take you to the last section. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. I hope it's clear. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Are you there? Are you getting it? Isaiah 38. About from verse 1, really. It's a story of a king by the name of Ezekiah. And Ezekiah was, a king who, at that point, chapter 38 is about the fact that there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah who said to Ezekiah, the Bible started in verse 1 by saying what? Ezekiah was sick and about to die. And the prophet Isaiah came to Ezekiah and said, thus says the Lord, you will die, you will not live. Set your house in order. Because you are going to die. There's no way out for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then Ezekiah turns his face to the wall, prays to God, and says, look, I've served you. I've done this. I've done that. I don't want to die like this. And God sends Isaiah back. Isaiah had already left, was about to leave the palace. And God said, go back and tell him that what? I've added 15 more years to his life. So he did. He did, and then if you go towards the end of Isaiah 38, look at verse 21. The Bible says, now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. Did you get that? So Isaiah came, prophesied the first time, you will die, surely, you will not live. Then he comes back again and says, God says, I should tell you that he has changed his mind. He will add 15 more years. But the Bible says, actually, Ezekiah didn't just jump up, bam, and say, glory! As he got the word, he just went, glory! And he jumped off the bed. No. The Bible says, when Isaiah prophesied and said, God says he has added 15 more years, he told the servants there and the king, he said, get figs and apply it like medicine to the boil that is there. And Ezekiah did what? The Bible says, he recovered. It says, and he shall recover. The word recover implies gradual recovery. It's wrong to use the same word, isn't it? It means that he got better gradually. It means it wasn't instantaneous. So Isaiah told them, God says you will die. Then he comes by and says, God says you will not die anymore. You will have 15 more years. He says, but this is what you will have to do. You will have to take the figs and apply it to that boil. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why didn't Isaiah just stand there, prophesy, and the man just got healed? God chose not to do it that way. Hallelujah. Does it remove the fact that it's God that healed him? He would have died. Are you still there? He would have died. But God decided that he's going to live, and God decided that he's going to have to put the figs upon the boil. Are you with me? Another interesting Agin story, which I found very interesting as we discussed some of these things, was the fact that somewhere along the line, Brother Agin's wife, Oretha Agin, was sick. And she had a thyroid problem, very often when it's big, people see that and we say somebody has a goiter. Okay, so she had a thyroid problem. It's actually the gland that is there that sometimes gets big, and you see somebody's neck here in front will be big, then you say he has a goiter. Now, it's not every thyroid problem that gives you a goiter, but many commonly will give you a goiter, okay? But people can have, forget medicine, amen. Okay, but she had a thyroid problem. The answer was surgery. And Oretha Agin wasn't going to go for surgery because she believed that if she went for surgery, she would die. She would die on the surgical table. So she didn't want to go for surgery. Brother Agin believed that if Oretha Agin went for surgery, she would die. In fact, he said that very often when he's ministering and he's in the spirit, he would see her on the surgical table and he would see her die on the surgical table. So he knew that if she went for surgery, she was going to die. They were trusting God for her healing. And they were trusting God that she was not going to go for surgery because she knew she would die on the table. He knew and even had visions of her dying on the table. And so they were trusting God that, no, this is not going to happen. She'll be well. She'll be healed. She's not having surgery. But one day, Jesus appeared to Brother Agin. And he appeared to her and said to her, he said, you know that if she went, she would die. He says, yes, I know that. And Jesus said, but tell her now to go for the surgery, and she will not die. Huh? And he told her, Jesus came to me. I saw Jesus. Jesus visited me and told me to tell you that you should go for the surgery, and you shall live and not die. And she went for the surgery, and she lived and did not die. The big question was, why didn't Jesus just heal her? Eh? Jesus appeared. Why did he take all the kidney to appear only to say, go for the surgery? Are you still with me, anybody? It's God. Amen. It's God. 2 Kings chapter 4, I don't have time anymore to read that, but 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha the prophet was there, the sons of the prophet were with him, they went, they wanted to prepare food, and somebody had went and gathered what they called wild gods, G-O-U, not God, G-O-U-R-D-S, some kind of wild plants, to eat. It's like they talk about, what do they call that thing now? Mushroom. Okay, they say there are some mushrooms that are dangerous. So I will never go and pick mushrooms. Okay, because I don't know which one is which. I don't know the good from the bad. So if I cook you mushrooms and I did not buy but I went to pick it myself, do not eat. Okay, because I don't know which is which. So they went to cook. Apparently somebody went to gather this, whatever it was, and he gathered the wrong ones. And they put it in their pot of soup and they cooked it. And when they ate it, as soon as they took the thing and they ate, maybe their first few spoons, they screamed and they said, alas, my Lord,
there is death in the pot.
Some people have argued and said they meant that it was bitter. But the word there, death, means death. It really means death. So it wasn't bitterness. They were talking about death. That look, alas, there's death in the pot. So somehow they tasted this thing and they said, hey, what have we eaten? Oh, God, there is death in this pot. And you know what the prophet said? He said, get some flour and put it in it. And they put it in it and they ate it. And it was okay. So some kind of medicinal intervention, some kind of, you get what I'm talking about? The guy just said, get this and this and this. He's not trained in that either. Otherwise, maybe the others too would have known what to put inside. So, but by revelation, he knew. He didn't pray over the pot. He just said, get this and put it to it. Some kind of antidote. Put it and you'll be okay. And they did, and they ate it, they were okay. Are you there? That's in the spirit of what? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Now let me say this as I try to close. But despite or at the end of it all, we must grow our faith in God. That's the bottom line. Are you getting what I'm saying? The bottom line, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 said, I am happy because your faith grows exceedingly. The bottom line is that you and I ought to grow our faith so that whatever happens, wherever we find ourselves, whatever the situation may be, we will enjoy God's best part time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whether it is that you needed to go to the hospital for something, God's hand will be evident in what you had to go through. Whether it is that supernaturally you are just touched by the power of God, God's hand will be evident in what you go through. Are you there? Just like I was listening to, the late Dr. Frederick Casey Price, and he was teaching on healing. And at the end of the day, he said, I've been teaching you on divine healing. He said, but it's not God's best. He said, God's best is health. God's best is that you don't even get sick. So if I get sick, am I out of the will of God? Am I a sinner? No. What do I do to get well? Are you there? But keep believing God for the utmost of God. Can I have an amen? Which then says, it then referred to that scripture, 3 John and verse 2. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. With these few words, I hope I've been able to convince you and not confuse you that God is God, amen, and is able to help whether with few or with many. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Take a moment and just pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. Lekeraba katamayaba. Mekli aso praste feka pradosi. Glendasti grandosta pradiste pakata. I tell you, the glory of God is here. Legele bokokolo bashta bahanda. Gregi gegegegegegegesh. Libogo goste. Legala ba 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 ba. Yege gragas tu brasta fredista bahande lege ge 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 malo gogosta mam redista yage hele gosta prediste fredista bahande lega la ba 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 yege la ba 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 oh mala bashanda la ba kaka la bashta pradise kete. You know that hymn, my faith looks all to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Lord, hear me as I pray. just come to the front. You need prayer, especially if you're sick, just come. Or you need prayer for anything else, just come. The glory of God is getting stronger in this place. Lega sopra dosta frandes te fradosa prakesta lega la bosta fradoso fradista bahanda. I believe God's touching somebody's eyes. I think the person is watching online. God's touching somebody's eyes. Somebody's eyes. Somebody's eyes. Somebody's eyes. Somebody's eyes. Somebody's eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand here. You are helping. Sorry, just come here, Natalie. Just stand here. Wow. The voltage is increasing real strong. Real strong here. Real strong here. Real strong here. Yeah, that's it. And it's coming on you already. Stop praying and just receive it. Whatever it is, just receive it. For whatever reason you came, just receive it. The glory of God is coming strong and strong and strong and strong. Power upon you now in the name of Jesus. God's hand is coming upon people tonight. Strong, 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 strong. Mangle esta braso fradista bahande. Lega la bosta bahande. Lega bosta kata dede seketaya. Help at the back there. That's it on her. Strong. Power upon you. Lebro sofredista bahanda. Sekele basta brado soko. Don't try to hold her up. Lay her down. That's God's power. Lay her down. Don't try to hold her up. Yeah, it's still strong there. Still strong. Still strong. Yeah. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Overwhelming, 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 overwhelming. Power of God upon you. Lega la mosta, brando sofredista bahande. Lega lo sofredista bahande. Lega la mosta, prakasta, requesto, predista, papaya. Mala mosta. Oh, let me. You know, sometimes it's just good to enjoy and have God's power come upon you. Yeah, it's on her now. It's on her now. It's on her now. It's on her now. Lega boso predista bahasa kataya bahande. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lega le bosta. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let it come upon her stronger and stronger. And stronger. Le broso fredishta bahata. Help her, help her down. Help her down. Don't try to hold them up. No plekeshta brahande sikele bahashta. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. There's something about yieldedness too. There's something about yieldedness. The more you want, the more you get. Yeah. Legele boshta bradoso fredi. Help him, help him, help him, help him. Legasto brandoso fredishta bakadosa. Yeah. Lip, yap, losika, rasto, prando, sofredishta. Upon him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Legasto, prando, sofredishta, bahata. Legala boshta, I tell you, strong in here, strong in here, strong in here. Legala boshta, prekekekekekekekekekeke. Yeah, lebroso, prodoshta, prahande. Legado, soto, palida, stam, bahata. Legalo koshke predishta bahata. It's like a renewal of your youth. Yeah, help her, help her, help her, help her, help her. It's a renewal of your youth. Help her. Lepro soko topahande. Yeah, like a renewal of your youth. Like a renewal of your youth. It's a total body walk from head to toe. Total body walk. That's what I sense. A total body walk from head to toe. Yeah. What happens when that happens? God is just refueling, changing. Legasto, brasisa, fakatose, fredeshte. Power upon her in the name of Jesus. Legla Bosta Brandoso Franista. In the name of Jesus, yeah, let it come strong, 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 let it come strong. Break it, break it. In the name of Jesus, like never before, like never before, like never before. Thank you. Overwhelm, 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 overwhelm. Lake Ladosa. It's not over. It's not over. It's the start of what God is dealing with you. Oh, help her, help her. It's the start of it. It's the start of it. Get stronger, 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 stronger. Never the same. Help her down. Never the same. Come strong upon you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a dealing of God now. Never, never, ever. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Increase that voltage. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just yield and take it in. Yield and take it in. Ah, they spoke about the times of refreshing that will come from the Lord. Times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times of refreshing, times of refreshing. This is what he's talking about. The times, the times, the times, the times, the times. Hold my hand. The times of refreshing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, 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 all over us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let us step into a new realm with you, Lord. Let us step into a new realm with you, Lord. Where she's never been before. Yeah, ankle deep. You said that the time knee deep at the time. And at the time it got overwhelming. Let it be overwhelming for her. In the name of Jesus. Overwhelming, overwhelming. Our walk with God changes completely from now. In the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name. Yes, Akala Bosta. Mapradosta, broken by the power of God. Leglegesto, Brakadasta, Marekesta Bahata, Yay Gabosa, Mangle Hesto, Broco Soto Beledi, Legabosta, Yay Gabasta Bahande, Rekabosta Bahande. Thank you, 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 Lord. Blowing light through, blowing right through. I hear God saying, I'm not done. Lega soko paradesta. I hear God saying, I'm not done. I hear God saying, I'm not done. I hear God saying, I'm not done. Le grekesta bahata. Le bra ba 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 shaka la bahasta. Le ga 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 la ba shaka taya banda. God saying, I'm not done. Leg legesta bahande, leg legesta prokosta, ma prosofredista bahande, leg legege shakanda la bosta brahasta, lega gaga shata la bahasta, le prosofredista brahande, le sika prasto. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lega la bosta braka basta bahande. Lega suto palika shata la bosta brahande. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. It's fixing everything. Fixing issues beyond what we know. Makro pashta bahanda. Fixing issues beyond what we know. Fixing issues beyond what we know. Help out. Lega la bosta brando sokro bosta. Lega la bahasta. Yaga hasita brasto fradishta bahande. Lega la bosta bahande. Sekela bahashta bahande. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin to give him praise. 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 Lega soto brando sofredishta bahande. Lega gaga shaka raba shanda la bohosta bahande. Lege gege 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 shanda la bosa kataya bahande. Reka bosa kata la basha kata la bayanda. And if you're watching, what is that? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Why are they crying? Because God's power is upon them. And what happens when God's power comes upon people? They become completely different. They become a new man, a new woman. Mabra Ashta Brande Seka Glagaste Brasoko Mamra Dosta Frande Stiga Asto Vraso Kataya Yagabaya Katala Bahanda Yahasta. These are the last days we'll see more of the power of God in demonstration. But what will happen to a lot of good people tonight is that you'll be completely changed, completely changed. Your world viewpoint will be completely different. And the things that God will do through you will amaze you. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall lay hands on the blind and the blind eyes shall open. Ye kalabosta bahanda, sika ashta brasta baka, yakashta bahata. We shall begin to see the raising of the dead. We shall begin to see. We shall begin to see. Legashta bahanda, sekando sopra dushta baka, legaga baba shakatala bahanda. Just let them stay on the floor. Let them just stay on the floor. Legleshka bahande, sikara basoto fredishka papaya. That's better, easier. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Legloso pradishka bahande. Legegege shatala bahande, sokora basata ya. Wondered if this year will be any different. But God says, make me the center. Make me the center. And you'll have your best year yet. You will be shocked at what God will do. You'll be shocked at the dimensions and the doors that it will open. You'll be shocked at even how it will multiply 5 loaves. You'll be shocked at how 2 fishes will be enough. You'll be shocked that there'll be no clouds nor rain, yet the valley will be full of water. But make God the center. Make him the focus. You'll be shocked at what he will do. But he says that his almightiness has to be a deep revelation to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't never know how to close a service like this, do you? Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise and glory. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. But let me just try to close it so you can give your offerings. Before we close, you have the offering. You know what to give. You know the numbers to transfer to. First Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. We'll be here praying. 7:30 to 8:30. So I expect all the intercessory group will be here. I expect the choir will be here. And of course, the rest of the church. Amen. We'll have a wonderful time praying. Hallelujah. New things I do declare by the Spirit of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.